This is the Stamfords podcast at the Stamfords Travel Writers Festival at Destinations in Olympia.
Put your hands together and give a very, very warm welcome to Mr. Rob Faulkon, everybody.
Hi there. Hi there, everyone. So today I'm going to share with you a story that myself and brother, a journey we've been on, that all started travelling about 15 years ago with a holiday. So about 15 years ago, myself and brother Paul, along with our other brothers and sisters, we're one of six, were asked randomly by our parents to go to India, a last minute kind of teletext deal. Some of you might remember that. We went across to India, not knowing what to expect. It was the first time we'd ever been anywhere like this. And, we kind of just went there with our eyes open, and it was a 2-week holiday to Goa. And we ended up really enjoying ourselves. We had an incredible time. And we then came back from the holiday, and our parents at the time had our house on the market. So they asked us who enjoyed the holiday, and if anyone fancied leaving school and then going travelling. And all of us kids thought, yeah, the opportunity to get out of our classroom in Croydon seemed like a great opportunity. So. Within a few weeks, our house had gone through the sales process, and we were literally up, our family house that we'd been in for about 20 years. Our parents, packed up and off we went, and they literally said to us all, pack wisely, because you've got to carry what you're taking, and off we went. We just flew into Mumbai, a one-way ticket, And kind of the crazy kind of journey started from there, because when we flew in, it was actually, there was a big international festival and a religious festival as well. So it was manic when we got to Mumbai, and we wanted to get down to back to Goa where we were, because our parents, my younger brother, they were conscious about my younger brother, who's a chronic asthmatic, so they didn't want to be in Mumbai too long. But we ended up, we couldn't get a train, we couldn't get a plane, so we ended up literally hiring a Jeep, and we did like a 20-hour drive down the cliff sides and down the coast, and even that in itself was just an unbelievable experience that myself and brothers and sisters thoroughly enjoyed. So when we got to Goa, as I said, there was no kind of plan, and we kind of thought that it would just be a case of a couple of months of kind of traveling, and then we'd go back to the UK, get back into school. And it ended up kind of just going on and on and on. And it was a case of they were, a case of Lonely Planet travel books, etc. And just picking new places to go, and off we go. So we went right across India. And then we'd come back kind of here and there from when it was monsoons to catch up with family. We went to school out there for a bit, which again was completely unique in comparison to kind of going to school here. And we worked, over the years kind of in orphanages, in slums, we'd just travel around, we'd go to markets, we'd, go to, museums and lots of different things. We never knew what we were doing every day. It was a kind of different day as we went along. And as I said, kind of thinking this was going to be a couple of months, it ended up being about 4 years. So it was kind of just a real crazy kind of time. And I could tell you many different stories of all the different things we saw in India and kind of other places that we traveled as well. But I'll be here all day. But we then went randomly again to Sri Lanka, and we flew in to Colombo, and again, not knowing where we were going to go, what we were going to do, just a case of kind of opening up a book and reading up where was cool and asking other travellers, etc. We then went down the coast, and the coast of Sri Lanka was stunning. We stayed in a small fishing village, and we were out there. We were going over there for Christmas. When we were there, we had an incredible time. We had myself, by now I was 17, my other brother was 15 and 11, and then our younger sister was 8. And there we were, having an incredible Christmas time. And then the next day, we were caught, which many of you will probably remember, the Boxing Day tsunami. So unfortunately, we were extremely unlucky. Kind of, we were staying right on the beach, and myself and younger brother and sisters somehow managed to survive ourselves. But unfortunately, we lost our parents whilst we were there. So we then there we were, kind of after years of helping other people and seeing kids in different situations, that weren't great. We were then in that position ourselves. So we were, suddenly in a third world country at the time, one of the biggest natural disasters ever. And then we had to figure out, how we were going to get home. But fortunately, because of the incredible upbringing that we had, kind of traveling and learning lots of different things and how to be resourceful, we somehow managed to hitchhike home from the bottom of the coast, right back up to the capital city so that we could fly home. So myself and brother and other brother and sisters have spent years trying to rebuild our lives and continue kind of, with the values and kind of vision that our parents taught us. And we've been looking over the years to kind of come up with something that would enable us to do that. And myself and brother then decided to start Gandhi's, and because we wanted to do something that, we could, express the upbringing that we had, but then also carry on traveling. We came up with the idea of selling flip-flops because we spent years kind of wearing them and traveling around in them. And we just thought, at the time it seemed, it just seemed like the right idea, and had a feeling in our gut that, we should follow this dream. And a couple of years ago, we said, out of our bedroom, we said we want to build a children's home in their memory, and that was the goal we set. And we just said, the right way to do this is, let's not go asking for money, etc. Let's just design cool flip flops, and then, we'll sell them, and it'll be a sustainable way of generating money to then fund our initiative that we set up, Orphans for Orphans, which I'll talk to you a little bit more about in a second. And we then, literally out of our bedroom, started knocking on the doors of major retailers. We literally went down to the offices of Topshop, Topman, etc. We stood there waiting for Philip Green, and we, in our flip-flops in the lobby room, saying we're not leaving until he comes down. He didn't come down. But we were just kind of bold and kind of fearless with our approach, just purely because of, a lot of the upbringing that we had. In terms of Orphans for Orphans, as I said, where we spent so many years kind of, working, in slum projects, in children's homes, we kind of, this was something that, we were passionate about, and, we kind of just started it with that purpose of building that children's home. And we'd spent many years over the last kind of 10 years since the tsunami. Myself and brother have both been back to India on many occasions, kind of helping out, volunteering, spending a couple of weeks there at a time. But again, we'd go out and help them with art or playing cricket and things like that. But then ultimately we'd be coming back and they'd be in the same position. But now we kind of, we figured with what we're doing now, instead we've been going out there and we're kind of like, we've built that home, or we're funding that home. That's kind of, what drives us and all the guys that we have now working at Gandhi's as well. And for us, we kind of, it seemed at the time, it seemed like a massive, a massive challenge to, to build a children's home. Originally we thought it was, we were doing it just in memory of our parents, but what we've actually seen is, around the world, there was 230,000 people lost in the tsunami. There's been so many people that have reached out to us, been affected by it, and it's for us, it's kind of not just been about our parents, it's kind of then been about all the other, all the other people that were tragically taken as well. So for us, that's kind of something that really drives what we do, and why we're so conscious about everything we do, because it's kind of, creating, a legacy for our parents. And in that, everything that we do, even down to the details of design, is encompassed from our traveling. So we put a passport stamp on the sole of every flip-flop, which has our message of Orphans for Orphans. And we put a postcard in every box because we spent, you know, years traveling around sending postcards back. At that time, Facebook and things like that weren't around or just being started. So we would be sending postcards back to family and friends. So again, that's the details that we put in there. And then we just come up with interesting prints and other things that we've kind of seen from the kind of vibrant upbringing that we've had. And that just gives you some of the ideas of kind of some of the flip-flops that are out there. So when we started it as well, we weren't sure about, you know, how we were going to get the momentum going, because ultimately we were just two young lads in our bedroom, and we knew that to kind of get people aware of what we were doing, to get it into some of the bigger retailers, and, you know, to get people to obviously, you know, get behind what we were doing, we needed to raise awareness. So again, we've been very fortunate in a lot of people covering, you know, what we're doing, and that's really helped to kind of share what we're doing and build the momentum. But originally, when we actually started, we didn't actually put our story in what we did. We started Gandhi's and we said that we were building a children's home, but we never had our unique story behind it, because over the years, it's not something that we've brought up or, you know, necessarily wanted to share. But we've kind of learnt to deal with that. And when people kept asking, well, why are you trying to build this children's home, or what's the reason behind it, or, you know, why are you so passionate about, you know, trying to give children a better opportunity, and that was when we kind of explained the situation we'd been in. And, you know, for us, we were helped when we were in Sri Lanka. It was the children of Sri Lanka that actually helped us get home as well. So kind of for us, we see it as us, you know, kind of returning the favour for all that they did. And again, just kind of more kind of coverage of kind of some of the stuff we've done. And for us as well, partnering with the likes of Liberty and things like that, and obviously Stanford's, really helps to kind of get our message out there and help build our movement. When we started it as well, we literally got going with a Facebook page. So starting something's never been easier because of the power of the internet now. And we literally just set up a Facebook page because we wanted to see what our friends and family and people would say. And that started to build momentum. Originally, we were actually taking pictures of our flip-flops in the bath just to get the white backdrop to put it on our website. But from there, we've kind of built up and we've learned that we've got to take better pictures than that. We share moments of our journey, where we've been. And last year, when we went back to Sri Lanka for the first time, we kind of wrote a blog post about our journey back and why we were going back there and what it was all about. And within, kind of, we got on the plane, and within us kind of 12 hours of landing, we kind of just thought, yeah, it would kind of be a normal kind of post, a couple of hundred likes, etc. By the time we got there, it had 1 million views, and it had just gone all around the world. We literally had people offering us tea and coffee and dinner and accommodation when we got to Sri Lanka. And that, you know, kind of really helped kind of propel what we were doing. But we just kind of put it up there, not thinking about what we were doing, but just sharing what our story and kind of what we're all about. And that's, you know, our Facebook page in itself has been really powerful. But then, you know, again, as I said, kind of starting out, we've then needed to get the movement going, and we reached out to other people. Some of these people, kind of, you know, Jamie Oliver, they've got millions of followers, and Jesse J or whoever it may be, and, you know, simply, you know, some of these guys picked them up in some of the shops. Some of them, they got them at festivals, and they, you know, they like what we're doing. And to our surprise, we even had Noel call in from One Direction last week, because he's going to Australia, and he said he needs a new wardrobe of Gandhi's. So kind of getting that kind of support of, you know, seeing that we've got kind of a product with a purpose is kind of really great that, you know, these guys have helped support what we're doing as well. Sorry. Oh, sorry. There we go. And again, on that, we've tried to, starting out, we've not had kind of big budgets, etc. So we've just tried to be creative with what we were doing. And kind of for us, we looked up over the years to Richard Branson. We thought it'd be cool to get them on Necker Island. So we now every year have International Flip Flop Day. Put it in the diary, 21st of June, and we did that the last 2 years running. And Virgin's kind of started at year one, and they put it on Necker Island. So anyone that stays there gets a pair. And then kind of people all across the Virgin brands were all wearing our flip flops all around the world. And again, every year we just tried to make that kind of bigger and bigger. And as I mentioned kind of earlier, we went back to Sri Lanka most recently at Christmas for the 10-year anniversary, but we went back the year before as well because we did a collaboration with Accessorize, as the founder from there was born in Sri Lanka too, so there's a lot of common ground. And we went over there and we found a project, a children's home there, that we wanted to support for the next 3 years through that collaboration. And then kind of we've picked up so much momentum in terms of what we're doing. And when we started, we didn't really think it would capture so many people's kind of imagination with what we're doing. We were recently asked by the Queen to become young leaders of the Commonwealth to represent the UK in terms of, our story and, the values and vision that we have to share with other people across the Commonwealth, which will hopefully then inspire them to make change as well. Because for us, we don't ever say we're trying to change the world, but if people can kind of learn something from our story, hopefully it might then inspire them to do something. So we've even managed to walk around Buckingham Palace wearing our flip-flops, which Prince Harry couldn't quite believe. That it was kind of a little bit of a shock that, why are you wearing flip-flops around my nan's house, sort of thing. There you go. And then most recently, these pictures aren't updated, but this was just the start of the building of our kids' campus. And when we started that, we kind of just thought, it was the idea being it was going to be a preschool. But from being over there at Christmas, it's now, turned into much more in terms of the whole local community has really got behind it. And they're using it. We're running kind of educational programs for older kids as well, and even adults as well. We've found a lot of the corporate companies there. We're teaching English. And the whole point being is that there's a whole cycle where, these kids can then go up in terms of the education. And we're working with some of the bigger corporates as well across Sri Lanka to kind of, eventually get them onto scholarships and into their companies as well. So, for myself and brother, we've spent the last 10 years rebuilding our lives, which has now kind of led to where we are now. But hopefully, in 10 years' time, we'll be able to say that, some of the kids that we've been working with recently will ultimately, reach their goals too. And then again, there we go. So we've recently, we came up with our book that kind of tells you just some of that story, the unique upbringing and the values and vision and kind of all that we've gone through with in life and then kind of creating Gandhi. So that's kind of where we are at the moment. And hopefully this is just the start for us, which will, we've achieved quite a lot in the last couple of years, but hopefully over the next kind of 10 years with Gandhi's, might be back here saying that we've reached that goal of having children's homes all around the world. So thank you, everyone. If anyone's got any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Yes, has anyone got any questions for Rob at all? Anybody?
Or not.
Yeah. Oh, a question over there.
Yeah, hi. Hi there. It was really inspiring. How did you come up with the name Gandhi's?
I woke up with a mouth like Gandhi's flip-flops, and I wondered if anyone had ever used the term Gandhi's flip-flops for them, and nobody had. And a lot of people now think it's our surname. It's kind of, people just assume that it's actually our name because we just get permanently called the Gandhi brothers. And then there's a big male model as well, one of the world's biggest supermodels, is called David Gandhi as well. So some people think it's his brand and there's things like that. So we're all right with us being confused as big global supermodels, but not quite the case.
Good cool. question. Anyone else got a question? Cool. Now, your cool. flip-flops. Oh, there's a gentleman at the back. Brilliant.
I was just wondering if you can sort of sustain your business model, if that's the right word, on one item like flip-flop, or whether you feel you've got to expand into some other kind of item that could be branded in a similar way.
So, potentially. Admittedly, there's certain flip-flop companies who sell hundreds of millions of flip-flops all year round. And for us, we're quite all right chasing the sun at the moment. And we've launched in the biggest department store across Australia. My little sister's backpacking at the moment, and she messaged me literally the other day just saying she's just seen somebody walking around Sydney wearing Gandhi's. So it's kind of, for us, we're now kind of opening up the distribution so that it's, tomorrow I go to, actually tonight I go to America, and we're talking to all the major department stores across America as well now. So the idea being that will ultimately just keep growing, which then gives us an all-year-round kind of model with that.
I've got a question for you, Rob. Oh, is another one? Does someone else have a question? Oh, sorry, lady in the front. Here we go. Let me come to you, madam.
Thank you. It's rather personal, so you don't have to answer it. I just wondered how your younger brother and sister were faring.
So my younger brother, he actually designed... where is it? He designed our logo. If I can go back to it, there we go. So he designed our logo. So again, he's very creative. And in our logo, we actually put a footprint, because it was our mum's favourite poem, Footprints in the Sand. And we put the kingfisher in it as well, because that was our dad's favourite beer in India. So he did that. And I actually live with both my brothers. And then my younger sister is travelling at the moment. But our youngest brother, he doesn't work with us because he's a bit of an artist and trying to work with him is hard work. But we still get on very well. And then my younger sister is continuing kind of where we left off, travelling around Australia and Asia. And she wants to come work with us. But we've kind of said go out and travel a little bit. Go work for a few other people as well, so you see working with your brothers isn't too bad. And then she'll be joining us.
Oh, good question. Any other questions? Oh, lady in the front.
When the tsunami hit, did you personally suffer any physical injuries?
So myself and brothers and sisters all had a lot of wounds and things like that, scars and stuff like that, but ultimately kind of we were... Nothing too major.
I've got a question. Oh, there's a question at the back.
Right, I've got two questions. You may already have covered this and I missed it.
Cool.
The first one is a lot of companies have problems with banks and finance when they're mm-hmm. starting up. Mm-hmm. So what was the bank's reaction or how did you fund the company? That's the first question.
Okay.
Second question is, where are the flip-flops manufactured?
Cool. So, in answer to your first question, we personally, myself and brother, funded it. And my brother, for the first year, was sleeping on my sofa to save money. And we, literally living on the breadline to get it going. We'd be working during the day, coming home in the evening, working all the hours we could, and just putting everything we had into it. And that was quite hard work. And then... when we started to get bigger orders, because we started to get some of the bigger department stores across the country, there's no way that a couple of young guys could fund those orders. So we actually created something called Brothers Den. We were asked about Dragon's Den, but we wanted to do it our own way, kind of put the shoe on the other foot. And we invited a load of millionaires to come sit in some tree houses, and they had to pitch us why they should get involved with us.
Nice. That was very clever.
And we found somebody that kind of, liked our values. They'd had a lot of track record of kind of philanthropy and kind of doing lots of social projects. So we knew that they'd get, our goals. And even now, we're, it's scaling quite big. And we've actually got, again, other people that are willing to help with that. And I can't say too much about it just right now. But They want to make substantial investments into Orphans for Orphans as well, which ultimately will mean that we will just continue expanding more and more kids' campuses. So that's how we've kind of managed that. Challenging, but we somehow did it. And the second question, we started producing in India. And we got let down. We tried, you know, we had them being handmade by local villagers, and I didn't show a picture, but they were kind of made from rope, which is where we came up with the rope strap. That didn't work, and there was no scalability with it, and we had to weigh up producing them there. We got let down loads in terms of production quality, things like that. I'd you know, be asking when are they going to be ready. They say 2 weeks, and 2 weeks later, are they ready? No, they're not ready. Then it would be a case of, sorry, we can't make them. So that didn't work out. And ultimately, we said, our goal is to open our children's home. And that was kind of what we had to look at. And one of the biggest shoe the biggest shoe manufacturer in the world is China. And they have, obviously, the most amount of rubber as well. So we moved across to China, which has been going incredibly well because their technology and everything, they're so much more advanced. But now we actually have the biggest Sri Lankan footwear manufacturer as well, and kind of rubber plantation that is now working with us, so we're going to have production there as well.
Wow, how do you go about, well, you dream up this idea of doing flip-flops, how do you go about from the dream to going, who's actually going to make them? That's just incredible, isn't it? Yeah. From your house to then suddenly finding somebody across the world who would make flip-flops for you. How did you find?
Good old Google. You can do anything these days with Google. But yeah, I used a website called Alibaba, which,
yes, I've heard of Alibaba.
Is a huge sourcing platform.
Wow, for, and that's
products,
how you found
around the world. And again, we were quite fortunate with that because it's hard to get manufacturing going because all the big companies, with all the big factories that, you know, meet all the standards and things
the
like
quantities,
that.
Quantities, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to get their attention. But fortunately for us, this is the great thing about traveling. I met a really good friend backpacking through Australia and Thailand, and she was working for a ad agency that was making the TV advert for Alibaba. And they said, does anyone know anyone that makes products? So they got in contact with us, and they ended up making a big international TV advert out of us.
Wow.
Which then led to every manufacturer in the Far East assuming that we were much bigger than a couple of guys in our bedroom.
That was good.
Which then helped us to get that going.
That was amazing.
There's been a few lucky breaks with, you know, with everything that we've been doing.
No, amazing. We had another question, don't you, madam?
Are you supporting or sponsoring any of the older kids from your projects into creating their own social enterprise or mini business?
So at the moment, it's preschool, so it's not quite there yet. But ultimately, eventually, you know, that's where I'd like to hope it could get.
That's the dream, isn't it? Any more questions, anybody? Did someone else have their hand up? Ooh. So do you actually do the designing of the flip-flops yourself?
Yeah, a lot of the designs.
So who knew, business and creative designer?
Try.
Wow, it's amazing. You have to be. You have to do it all, basically, didn't you?
Yeah, lots of long hours. But
so where do you get your inspiration? What that could go into the designs? Like for female flip-flops. How do you?
I've got three sisters, so
there you are.
I can take advice from them.
Excellent, because I love your designs. Now, you can get some of your Gandhi's flip-flops next door at Stanford's, can't you?
Indeed.
But do you have a website?
Yeah, so Gandhi's flip-flops.com and... again, on our Facebook and Twitter, people can join us on there and kind of follow the journey.
Fantastic. And can you name some of the shops where you can buy them from?
Soul Trader, Accessorize, Liberty, Oasis, kind of.
So they're easy,
Azul Spring,
easy to get.
Be rolled out
easy
in all those
to get.
Stores.
They're amazing. And can you tell us how much they are?
Anywhere from kind of £15 to £25, depending
so
which ones.
Brilliant. No, absolutely. Anyone got any more questions? Anyone know anything else? How to set up their own business is amazing. Well, your story is fantastic, and your book, we've also got your book next door, haven't we?
Indeed.
Which just obviously tells your story. So are you going to write any more books, do you think? Do you have time to write any more books?
We'll see. It was, it was good fun as well doing that, because there was so much that you don't remember such kind of, you know, day to day. So it was actually quite a fun process kind of doing all of that, kind of just remembering all the little stories and things like that. And even since having the book as well, this literally last week, we've had over the years lots of incredible people get in contact with us kind of that have come across our story, people that saw us in the airport in Colombo, the guy that pulled my sister out of a coconut tree, literally like incredible stories. And last week I had somebody that knew my dad as a young guy as well, by chance bought our book, had no idea, read the book. So I ended up getting a load of pictures of my dad and him on all their travels in the 70s.
Oh,
so
amazing.
Things like that as well that, you know, I'm kind of really happy and my brother and sisters that we managed to get that out there.
Fantastic. And last question for you. Cool. Do you have any time off? Are you going to go travelling? Have you booked your holiday for this year?
Not yet.
Too busy.
We travel with work, so we kind of,
we
get to tighten.
So where would you like to go? One place. We are at the destination show. Where would you like to go that you've not been to?
Do you know what? I think I'm going to take a walk around and then hopefully
I'll... And be inspired.
I've seen lots already.
Good luck. So. You want to go everywhere, won't he, after looking around destinations. Absolutely fantastic. I think, ladies and gentlemen, please think a massive thank you. Rob Falcon.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
We'll be blogging and posting recordings of all the events live each day, so check back for more.